Hello, everybody. My name is Ray. Welcome to the Evangelical Dark Web. Today, we're going to be discussing Doug Wilson on Tucker Carlson defending Christian nationalism. And Doug Wilson gets pretty based here, and I love to see that. You know, I'm not the biggest fan of Doug Wilson. I'm certainly not a hater either. You know, I call balls and strikes with Doug Wilson, and he knocked this one out of the park. And you love to see Doug Wilson be based. And that is what we're going to talk about today, as well as Christian nationalism. It's been a while since we've talked specifically about that on this channel. I'm definitely pro-Christian nationalism here because I'm a Christian and I support nationalism. And the two just go together very well because Christianity and national identity go really well together because these are natural affections. And we're going to talk about Doug Wilson on Tucker Carlson defending the term and the ideology, the political, you know, theology on a very large platform. So this is very good news. We are so back and we're going to talk about this. But first, I'm going to let you know Evangelical Dark Web is a Christian news gathering and commentary ministry. You can support our work over at evangelicaldarkweb.org/join. That's our Patreon-like system where you get bonus content, bonus articles and stuff like that. Hot takes that are too hot for the general public, stuff like that. But the least you can do is like this video, subscribe to the channel or podcast if you are new. That's linked in the description below, as well as our free Evangelical Dark Web newsletter that gives you Christian news in your inbox each and every day. There are definitely more articles than videos or podcast episodes. So here we go with Doug Wilson on Tucker Carlson. This is on Rumble. And we're going to be listening at 1.25 speed, by the way. I got four clips, and the fourth clip is the best.
I was not opposed. I'm sincerely confused by the phrase Christian nationalism, which seems like an attack on Christianity to me. Mm-hmm. What is it, to the extent you understand it, and are you a Christian nationalist?
So I'm willing to be a Christian nationalist because because I prefer that phrase to the phrase I usually get called. So
what do you usually get?
Oh, white supremacist, you know,
white supremacist,
slave advocate, racist, you know, all the theofascist, Christo. So the left really does hate Christianity.
Yes.
And with the phrase Christian nationalism, even the part of it that's coming from the left trying to wrap that around our necks, that's something I think I can explain. I can say inside of 2 minutes.
May I ask before you, and thank you for doing that, and I will listen raptly because I really want to know. But just to clarify the terms, is that a phrase that you or people with your beliefs came up with, or was that a phrase that was leveled against you?
Well, both. Canon Press, located in Moscow, Idaho, has a streaming service called Canon Plus. Canon Press published The Case for Christian Nationalism by Stephen Wolfe. So that was our embrace of the term. Okay, and Stephen Wolfe wrote a defense, a scholarly defense of the whole thing, the history of the whole thing. So we embraced it to that extent. But then on MSNBC just a few weeks ago, there was one of the talking heads there that said, anybody who believes that rights come from God and not from Congress and not from the Supreme Court is a Christian nationalist. Right.
So there is Doug Wilson giving a definition of Christian nationalism that's functional in... He's going to expand upon it in the next clips. So the next clip, he's going to talk about which God. And I feel like this is a pretty important distinction because he makes the argument that, you know, government is going to have a God. A society is going to have a God. And the question, the most important question is which God? So here is the second clip.
Okay, now... This is where everybody, I think I'd be with, most people would be with me up to that point. All conservative believing Christians.
The state is not God.
The state is not God.
Yes.
Okay. And the early Christians were persecuted, not because they worshiped Jesus, but because they would not worship Caesar. All right. The whole issue of Christians being thrown to the lions had to do with who they wouldn't worship, not who they would.
Right.
Now, my read on the history here is that Christianity made exclusive claims about Christ's divinity and, you know, monotheism that... you know, made them not liked by the pagans of their day. Yes, Rome relied heavily on the imperial cult for a national identity, but it is largely a myth that every single emperor was deified, let alone deified while they were alive. Very few emperors were deified, and they were done so after death. So that's very important to note in terms of our understanding of history. The imperial cult, though, was very important to the national identity of Rome because they had a national civic religion. So it's not like Christianity or, you know, invented a nationalized religion.
Okay, the Romans were more than happy to add Jesus to the pantheon.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, but the claims of Christ are exclusive, and Christians would not recognize Caesar as Lord. Jesus is Lord, is the fundamental Christian confession. So most Christians are with me right up to that point. But then the immediate comeback question from our antagonist would be, okay, if you want to have a God above the state, smart aleck, which God? Okay, and that lands you right in the middle of theological debate, which is the last place in the world a lot of people want to be.
For sure.
Okay. Is it Allah? Is it Shiva, the god of destruction? Is it the Unitarian God? Is it the Christian God? What do you, you know, what God is it?
Is it the Satan of the Church of Satan?
Right. And incidentally, if I could put here, our current rulers.
So there's his clip about talking about which God. Next, we're going to talk about law and, you know, where does law come from? And what should inspire the law? So, again, these clips, in my opinion, get increasingly based. And here we go.
Okay. Because all law, and this is the next principle, all law is imposed morality.
By definition.
By definition. It's not whether, but which. It's not whether you're imposing morality. It's which morality you're imposing. Okay. And if someone says, well, you're going to wind up imposing morality, I say, well, yeah. That's what law is, right? You can't have a structured, ordered society without the imposition of morality.
Law is judgment.
Right. But then that leads to the question, which morality? Every moral system arises out of the worship of a god, right? So in Saudi Arabia, you're going to get a moral system that is distinctly different than a moral system that arose out of a country with a Christian history and consensus, right? So the god you worship, this is a principle you see all through the entire Bible, and that is you become like what you worship. People begin to be conformed to the image of what they consider to be the highest good. You become like what you worship.
So I thought that was a pretty profound point that Doug Wilson made at the end. A lot of the ideas that he's expressed so far are not necessarily original to Doug Wilson, as far as I have ever heard him articulate, like the, you know, whole part about, you know, nationalism, tribalism, globalism. And then his whole part about, you know, it's not whether, but which, not Doug Wilson's ideology, as far as I know, but he's borrowing ideas from lesser known figures that are deeper into Christian nationalism. And you love to see that. Doug Wilson is someone who has a very prominent platform, and he is the face of Christian nationalism on Tucker Carlson's show. And despite that, he's still, you know, making reference to Stephen Wolf. I believe he's also using ideas and arguments from Joel Webbin. So you love to see that. And here is the last clip. It is the longest clip, but this was also my favorite clip as well.
Consequently, Christians are the ones who can respect order and form and structure. We like order and we love liberty. Well, where does that come from? Right. There's a certain kind of person who loves liberty and they just want to do whatever they want to do. And no one can tell me what to do about anything.
Right. Libertine.
Libertine. And then there's the person who wants structure. They want to live in a tyrannical North Korea type of thing where every move is dictated. Right. They want structure. The Christian faith provides the balance between form and freedom. And this is something that has been discussed for decades in the modern setting. Francis Schaeffer, the late Francis Schaeffer, was really good at spelling this out. We want form and freedom together. So when we say Christian nationalism, there are only three basic ways of organizing human society. There's tribalism, there's nationalism, and then there's globalism. I don't want globalism. I don't want to eat bugs. Okay. I don't want tribalism because nobody wants to live in a failed state, Somalia, with warlords. Nobody wants to live in Thunderdome. Okay. So I don't want tribalism and I don't want globalism. And we have a national structure now. Okay. So as a Christian, I would like that national structure to conform to the things that God wants and not the things that man wants. That's Christian nationalism.
But may I ask, of course, I agree vehemently with everything you've said. Let me pose that maybe.
So again, Tucker Carlson is responding pretty well to Christian nationalism because it is very reasonable. quite reasonable Christian nationalism is. You know, it's Christianity, national identity. Both of these are natural affections, and they are compatible together. So Doug Wilson is making a very good case about the orientation of government. It's going to be orientated, fixed upon either a tribal setting, a national setting, which is what we currently somewhat have, or a globalist setting, which I think all indications appear that globalism is bad. We do not live in a Star Trek, unified planet type of development I believe it was like they needed the planet to be unified for, certain contacts and stuff like that. But we don't live in that. And quite frankly, it doesn't really sound desirable at all. And therefore, Christian nationalism would be the best way to do a nation.
The two problems that people might have hearing the phrase Christian nationalism. The first and most obvious is, well, what if I'm not Christian?
Right.
How do I fit into that?
All right. You would fit in better than you're fitting in now. Okay. One of the things that a non-believer, basically, I trust the Christians. At least I'm speaking historically. I trust the Christians to take better care of a secularist's liberty than I trust the secularists to take care of mine.
Nicely put.
Okay. I think we're.
You have the last 2,000 years to back you up on that.
Correct. And that's not to say that there weren't warts and sins and blemishes in Christian history. There really were. But you take the worst, take the worst of the worst in Christian history, something like the Spanish Inquisition.
Right.
Okay. Some terrible, terrible thing.
The Spanish Inquisition was largely overblown, by the way. But, even still, the numbers that Doug Wilson cites aren't the exaggerated figures that you've seen.
Which I'm not carrying water for at all. Terrible thing. But the Spanish Inquisition killed a few thousand people over a few centuries. That was Stalin on a slow afternoon.
Yes.
Okay. The commies have killed 100 million people in the last century or so. All right. Tens of millions of people. And yet they go on serenely as though their copybook is not blotted and ours is. Right. How long have they been dining out on the Salem witch trials or on the Spanish Inquisition or the Fourth Crusade or different things like that? Yeah, those were horrific, evil, bad things. But the Christian theologian, the Christian preacher, has a book of God's revelation with which to condemn these things. We can say that's inconsistent. That's not what God wants.
Yes.
And we should conform to what God wants. That's Christian nationalism. All right, so Christian nationalism doesn't mean disobeying God's will in the name of Jesus. Christian nationalism means conforming what we're doing to God's revealed will. In the name of Jesus. It means obeying him, not disobeying him.
So Christian nationalism does not imply forced conversion.
It does not.
Or a reduction in the rights of non-Christians.
No, it's an expansion of the rights of non-Christians.
So that is the final clip. And you see, Doug Wilson did an excellent job defending Christian nationalism when asked about the role of non-Christians. Now, do I agree with the particulars of what he said there? Because ideally, I don't think, non-Christians should be allowed to hold public office. That's just my opinion in an ideal system, which is also the opinion that's expressed in the early state constitutions, such as the state of Maryland. It is literally in the Maryland Constitution, or Maryland Declaration of Rights, which is the name of our constitution, by the way. But anyway, that's the system that our founders founded. So, how radical is my position, really? But in any case, what Doug Wilson said was a great defense of Christian nationalism. You love to see that. The fact that he did that on Tucker Carlson is fantastic. The unfortunate part of this is not a in front of the paywall type of video. This was the longer clip that I saw because he posted a shorter clip on Twitter, but he posted a longer clip on Rumble, and that's good. But I'd encourage you to, catch the parts of the interview that I didn't show. It was a very good part, interview from what I've seen so far, and I would love to see the rest of it, but maybe some other day. Until then, have a blessed day. Stay based. Christ is King. We will catch you on the next one.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by shipping cheap parts around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. Skip the tariff and snag yourself American-made clothing with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.